4-3-6. Well done.
Get into the Chiefs like D4.
I want to be a Chief forever.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Chiefs Blueprint. I'm your host, Pete Sweeney, and this is Chiefs reporter B.J. Kissel. We've got a great show ahead for you. Later on, we'll bring you the sounds of the 2014 season and hear what the experts have to say about DeAnthony Thomas. But first, we'll hear from wide receivers coach David Culley. B.J., I think he's had a recent addition to his position group that you may have heard about.
Jeremy Maclin, is that who we're talking about?
That's the man.
Yeah, the good news is David Culley's also heard about Jeremy Maclin because they spent 4 years together in Philadelphia. Culley's one of 14 members of this Chiefs staff that Maclin was with in Philadelphia. So not only does Maclin bring that production and everything on his resume to the table, but he also brings a knowledge of this offense, which is a good thing for David Culley because he's going to be helped by having a coach on the field, and Maclin's going to help him and be able to mentor some of those younger players.
Well, BJ, you actually sat down with Coach Culley to discuss the feelings he had when he heard about the Maclin signing. Here's that conversation.
Coach Culley, you have experience with Jeremy Maclin from your time back in Philadelphia. Spent 4 years with him as a coach down there. When you first heard that Jeremy Maclin's going to be a Kansas City Chief, what was your first reaction?
Wow. You know, wonderful. And again, for the whole Chief Kingdom, he is the kind of player and the kind of person that you want to build with, and you know he can take you to where you want to go, and we're very excited about that.
What were your first impressions of him back in 2009 as a rookie, first-round draft pick coming in?
He was one of those guys that was very highly touted, and he was all of that. But going from college to coming to the NFL, you know, he looked out on that field and says, I think I'm as good as those guys. And I remember having a conversation with him early when we got there that I says, yeah, you probably someday will be as good as those guys. He says, someday. He says, I am now. And I just remember saying to him, I says, yeah, but right now at this level, you have to earn the right to do that. It's not just about your ability. It's about going through the process. It's about learning how to do certain things. And so we kind of got on the right track after that. And he actually was kind of right.
Do you like a player coming in with that kind of confidence? Do you think you have to have that?
You love that. That's part of the position. That's part of what makes those guys special. And not in a selfish way, but in a team way. Because they always look at things and say like, okay, the more times you put the ball in my hands, the better opportunity we're going to have to score. The better opportunity our team is going to have. So you can look at it from a selfish standpoint, but from their standpoint, they're looking at it like, I'll do that to help you win. So that's a good thing to have when you feel that way.
Now that you bring him as the veteran guy on this team, how do you see him helping some younger guys that you have in that group?
I said, listen, I'm so glad now I got you 5 years later than I did 4 years ago. Because 4 years ago, obviously when you first came in, you had all that matzah about you, which was a wonderful thing. I says, now you are mature. Now you can help me coach instead of me having to coach you all the time. So he's to that point now in his career, and he's going to be good for the young guys. And basically that's what you want out of a veteran, is that leadership, in which he's at that point now.
Doug talked about his route running and those things. What is it about him that makes him such a special player?
Well, first of all, he's very good athletically. He has really good ball skills. He possesses all those things that special players have. As you mentioned, Doug talked about his route running. He's a very good route runner, and he's a very intelligent football player.
At the end of the day, Jeremy's here. He's a Kansas City Chief. He's back home where he belongs.
He's from St. Louis, a couple hours away. Went to the University of Missouri, and he comes in and sees a lot of familiar faces.
Obviously, he comes in right away knowing exactly what we're all about. He knows Coach Reed's way of doing things. He knows our culture, which is a very important thing. So with him being around family, being around an environment that he knows and that he's comfortable with, at this point in his career, if they were writing a script for him, that this would have been perfect for him.
You can see that Coach Culley is clearly chomping at the bit to get to work with a new Chief. BJ, when you see the additions of that, like Maclin, Ben Grubbs, and others that we saw this March, how do you see that affecting the way that John Dorsey and his staff are able to approach this draft?
I think it can change it because their goal is to build competition throughout the roster. And when you use free agency to bring in vets with experience like Jeremy Maclin, Tyvon Branch, Ben Grubbs, and even Paul Fenneika, They're adding players that have NFL experience. They can step in and play right away if they're needed to. So when you self-scout at the end of the season and you say, we've got to find some places that guys can step in and play right away, and you get those in free agency, it allows you to take the best player available in the draft, and it doesn't really pigeonhole you into having to take a player to fill a need right away that hasn't proven that he can step on an NFL field and produce right away in year one.
Okay, say what you want about mock drafts, but some experts out there have tried to project who the best player available will be at the number 18 pick this year. Have any mock draft picks stood out to you as particularly interesting?
They're always interesting, and we saw what happened with the mock drafts before free agency and then what happened after free agency. But right now, one of the more interesting picks to me is NFL Network draft analyst and former NFL scout Daniel Jeremiah. He has the Chiefs selecting Texas defensive lineman Malcolm Brown. Now, Brown is a versatile defensive lineman. He can play multiple spots in multiple schemes. He's quick and athletic. But it's interesting because Jeremiah is the only one predicting a defensive lineman for the Chiefs. Now, you could never have too many talented front seven players, and Brown definitely fits that mold.
I saw that Charles Davis went in a different direction and mocked Brandon Scherff to the Chiefs. What do you think he saw in that particular prospect?
I think he saw the same thing. He saw versatility. And when you're talking about building a team, they have the same idea in that you want to build inside out. Talking defensive lineman, now you're talking about an offensive lineman. But the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, which is arguably the best in the NFL, in three of the last four drafts, they've taken an offensive lineman. They've built that entire offense around the strength of that offensive line. And you look at the University of Iowa and all the NFL linemen they've pumped out over the years. Scherff is just the latest. He was a left tackle at Iowa. A lot of people believe he's a better fit at guard. But in any case, the versatility he's got is going to help him through this process moving forward.
BJ, you and I could do this all day. This is a very talented draft class, and the Chiefs could go in so many different ways. And speaking of draft picks, when we return, we've got the experts breaking down a particularly impressive rookie season from a guy drafted by John Dorsey this time last year. Stay tuned.
Take it at his own 20. Waits, gets a block. Yes. Turns to the left side, gets another block. Here he goes at the 40. They're going to block the punter. He goes up the left sideline. Touchdown, Kansas City. DeAnthony Thomas.
It's going to be a lot of fun to see how Andy Reid comes up with ways to utilize him. Look who's in the backfield.
Yeah, DeAnthony Thomas, and they set it up for him.
And tries to get by the first defender. Does stiff arm. He's 15. Down inside the 5. Stretches out. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Welcome back to Chiefs Blueprint. As soon as the Chiefs drafted DeAnthony Thomas last May, the hype began to build. When you're that dynamic of a playmaker, BJ, sometimes the expectations get a little high for a rookie. How would you say Thomas responded to all that was asked of him as a young player?
I thought he responded well, especially with the ball in his hands in open space. But even before the season, what was really impressive is how he kind of figured out everything that was asked of him mentally, because Coach Reid wanted to be creative with him. They wanted to line him up in a lot of different ways. They wanted to figure out ways to get him the ball in space, which means he had a lot thrown at him trying to figure out where to line up and all the different things that go into Andy Reid's offense. So I thought Reid was very creative in how they used him. They put him in the backfield, they put him on the outside, they put him in the slot, and we saw him make an impact with just being on the field, just his presence on the field, because defensive coordinators had to always be aware of where he was at, because you didn't want to be stuck in a situation where you had a linebacker on DeAnthony Thomas in open space. On the Chiefs, that's what you want, but that's not what a defense wants. But when he got the ball, he averaged 13 yards per touch. So I'd say things went pretty well for Thomas as a rookie.
You're excited. I'm excited. I think we're all excited to see DeAnthony suit back up. Let's see what the experts had to say about Thomas's accomplishments as a rookie in 2014.
With the 24th pick of the fourth round, the Kansas City Chiefs select DeAnthony Thomas. Running back.
Early on with DeAnthony Thomas, I think the coaching staff, Andy Reid first and foremost, were so excited to have this toy that they could use in their offense.
This is a kid who was a top 20 recruit coming out of high school because of his speed and his ability to start and stop. So you're talking about an elite level athlete that people have known about for 3 or 4 years when he came out.
DeAnthony was a lot like Jamal, to where he had that next level of speed. He could get to that second, third gear and be able to outrun everybody to the end zone.
The biggest thing to me, if his speed would translate to the NFL, and it did. And we saw it right out of the gate.
And looks up and takes it, and now he gets hit immediately, but spins off the head and goes to the right side. Look. Here goes Depp at midfield. He needs a block. He gets it from Ford. 15, 10, 5. Where's Depp? He's in the end zone.
It was just a preseason game, but for him, it was that first taste of success in the limelight.
If there were any questions about adjusting to bigger, faster players, you know, that kind of wiped that away.
From that game forward, DeAnthony did everything that he could on every play to take it the distance.
You know, when you saw him return to punch, you go, boy, they need to do something on the offensive side for him. Look who's in the backfield.
Yeah, DeAnthony Thomas, and they set it up for him.
A lot of times guys like him come into a game and teams immediately mark him. That happened with DeAnthony Thomas, yet he still made plays.
They swing it to Thomas and tries to get by the first defender. Does step farm. He's 15, 10, down inside the five, stretches out, touchdown, Kansas City.
His first touchdown when he came in, you immediately go, okay, when this guy gets the ball, we need to be there, yet he's still able to beat guys to the corner.
Nobody can catch him, so if you can get him matched up on a linebacker or safety, look out.
Thomas takes it his own 15-yard line.
Oh, let's go! Let's go, baby! Let's go!
Moves to the right, using the speed at the 30, gets a block to the outside. He's at the 40-yard line, and the electric DeAnthony Thomas will give Kansas City excellent field position.
I see you.
When a guy is that just like raw, dynamic, instinctual, get him in space and make a lot of people miss, you want him free.
Here comes Thomas. They're going to give it to him on a jet sweep at the 35-30. Inside the 25-20. A gain of 26 yards by the flashy rookie from Oregon.
You know, you want him to be able to not think and just go. And I think that the way that they brought him along probably allowed him to do that.
You know, I think he's just scratching the surface in special teams.
He's at the 15, gets a block. He's at the 30-yard line. 35, Hemingway trying to give him a block at the 50. 45, 40. Trying to come to the near side, gets a nice block. He's got room. At the 35, two players in front of him. He's at the 15. An incredible return by the rookie. Dat will take it at his own 20. Waits, gets a block. Yes. Turns to the left side, gets another block. Here he goes at the 40. They got to block the punter. He goes at the left sideline. Thomas at the 25, 20, 10, 5. And the Chiefs ignite the fuse.
I see that.
I think getting him into open space is always going to be successful for the Chiefs. And if they can do that, he's going to make big plays.
He's such a versatile tool that they can use.
Give it to Thomas. DeAnthony Thomas. Blazing speed rookie out of Oregon. And they can use him in a variety of ways.
If he understands everything that they need him to do, and they're going to put more on him than a lot of other guys. He's going to have more to remember in that offense than just about anybody.
Pony!
We asked Andy Reid about Thomas. He said, they've thrown a lot at him. It's a tribute to the kid. He keeps learning.
People always talk about the jump that a guy can take year one to year two.
But I think what gets you excited is that they were actually able to get some production out of him in that first year.
And the more that he can get comfortable with that and be able to just go, the better he'll be.
Welcome back to the show. There's something to say about a team with some personality, and the Chiefs did not lack in that category this past season.
Pete, football is a game that you've got to play with passion, and every player in this roster that was selected by John Dorsey was not just because of their talent. He selected because their passion and their love for football, something he talks about often when identifying players to bring on this roster. And Coach Reid allows these players to be themselves. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into this, so he wants them to show that personality, show that love for the game. And the good news for the Chiefs is there's a lot of those guys.
Well, our cameras were rolling while players and coaches were wired throughout the 2014 training camp and regular season. And in the process, some of that personality really came through. Here are the sounds of 2014.
These white jerseys, we fly.
Yeah.
Wherever the ball at, we fly.
Yeah.
Y'all already know. Let's go, bro.
There you go.
Defense on three. One, two, three.
Defense.
Bust out, bust out. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Hey, anybody playing out here? We challenging? We're not going to get any better playing soft out here.
Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Get up there. Nice, nice, nice.
We flying around.
Go ahead.
We doing what we got to do.
Right frame of mind up front, baby. That's where it starts, right? All kinds of pride up front.
We're going to have a good time doing this, bro. Everybody, 11 to the ball at all times, bro. We're going to play. We're going to do what we need to do, dog.
Nice, nice eyes, nice eyes.
Okay, there you go, there you go. Speed counts. Good job, good job.
Hey, big heart, clear mind.
Yep.
Let's go, one play at a time, huh?
Oh,
hey, play together, play for each other. Let's go, win on three. One, two, three.
Finally! Question!
Charles with the run, 35-30, brings it to the right, 25-20, gets a downfield block, inside the 10, 5, touchdown, woo! Kansas! Looking to throw, now he'll scramble. Chiefs are pressuring, Vic is hit, Justin Houston gets in again. A 48-yard attempt by Cairo Santos. Placement is down. Santos, strong leg, going right to left. The kick is up, and the kick is good!
There you go, Santos!
Soche and ball!
There you go!
Portuguese, 4 inches up, and it's good!
Pretty day for a football game.
Let's go! You bet not. You bet not.
Come on, boy. Come on, now. Let's go, baby. Nice shot. Nice shot, nice shot.
Easy.
Come on.
So easy. Let's go home, baby.
Dump it to Jackson. This could be a trick play. Now Jackson shovels it back to Hogan. He shovels it back all the way across the field to Watkins. It's dropped and the Chiefs have it. That's the end of the game.
Woo!
Kansas City with guts and grit and grime pulls out a game.
Thanks for joining us. BJ, what can we expect next week?
Well, Pete, off-season workouts begin on Monday, April 20th. It's beginning of phase one, which means the players can come in, they can condition, they can lift, they can't be with their positional coaches, but they can do everything to get in shape, and that's that continuity that we always talk about, these guys getting together, spending that time together. That begins on Monday, so in a way, you could say the 2015 preparations officially begin on Monday.
I love that. Be sure to follow us throughout this week on kccheese.com for exclusive interviews, features, and analysis. You can follow us on Twitter, at Chiefs Reporter, and at PG Sweeney. We'll be here every week breaking down the Chiefs 2015 offseason. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Blueprint. We'll see you next week.